Here we are on the last Sunday of 2002, and normally most everyone thinks of the past year and its events, the present circumstances, and what the new year will be. So I thought it would be good for us this morning to consider this subject, our greatest need for 2003. Our scripture text is 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 17. Please turn in your Bible to that passage as we study together. Now let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the message of this song and for inspiring the author. Thank you for grace and mercy this morning. We pray now as we study the Word of God that the Holy Spirit will be our teacher and take it off the page and put it into our heart and life. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Our greatest need for 2003. Would you follow as I read our scripture text? From 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. 3, 1. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away. For of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds disapprove concerning the faith, but they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifest to all, as theirs also was. But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me in Antioch, in Iconium, in Lystra, what persecutions I endured. And out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good. What is our greatest need for the year 2000? Our greatest need is the Bible. A basis of truth, which is an anchor. A basis of truth, which is our protector. We desperately need our Bible. Some time ago in Sacramento, I attended the governor's prayer breakfast. And the speaker rambled on with what I considered to be a very shallow and unnecessary message. So after he was finished, I went up to him and said, "Sir, what is the authority for what you believe?" And he said to me, "My experience." And I thought, what a tragedy that this is the basis of authority. Human experience can travel anywhere. There are no stopping places. What we need is the Bible, the basis of truth. Now, as we get into this text, we learn that in the first 9 verses, Paul warns of perilous times and gives a long list of what is happening to people. And I thought it relates to our day with these same things, but some various things happening in our country. We are not the same culture we were several years ago. There is the influx of legal and illegal immigrants who have brought with them their culture and their religions, and they are becoming prominent. Also, we have a group of people in our country who are secular humanists, and they are very loud in their message. So we are not the same as we were. And so 2003 could be perilous times because of our changing cultures. And also because there is now in our country a religion that is growing and growing in popularity. This religion is called tolerance. And if you are tolerant, you're very popular in the academic world today. It's a threat. It's a tragedy. Perilous times, verses 1 to 9, which lead us to say, we need our Bible. In verses 10 to 14, the apostle gives an exhortation to Timothy, the young pastor at Ephesus, as he tells him, "Timothy, continue in the things you have been taught in your home regarding salvation and by faith. You have had a grandmother and a mother who have taught you this truth of salvation. Continue in the things which you have heard." That is the apostle's exhortation. In verses 15 through 17, he refers Timothy to the scripture. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. And so we want to concentrate this morning on verses 15 through 17 as we think about our Bible. Beginning with the authority of Scripture. Why is the Bible our authority? First of all, because the Bible is the revelation of God. It is God's communication to us. And in the Bible, he has revealed what he wants us to know for now. Later on in heaven, we will learn more. But for now, what we have in the Bible is the revelation of God, of what He wants us to know while we are here on this earth. Revelation is a very important word. We could not know things of God except that He reveals them. Secondly, the Bible is authored by God. It is given by inspiration to some 40 men over 1,500 years who had one and the same message. It is revealed, it is inspired, it is God as the author. This one subject that these men wrote about is our Lord Jesus Christ. And Spurgeon once said, "Cut the Bible anywhere and it will bleed. The Old Testament leads us to Christ, and the New Testament reveals Christ." The Bible is authored by God. The Bible subject is Christ. And fourthly, the Bible is applied by the Holy Spirit. Many, many people read the Bible. Not everyone believes. Not everyone trusts. Not everyone comes to faith. The Holy Spirit must apply this to our minds and hearts. And those who believe in Christ do so because the Holy Spirit has given them faith to believe, has invaded their mind and heart, and caused them to believe the Bible and the truth about Christ. Now, we who believe desperately need the Bible, first of all, for truth. The Bible is the truth. It is spiritual truth. And in no other place, and in no other way, and from no other source can we know the truth. The Bible is the truth. It is the only truth about sin. It is the only truth about the Savior. It is the only truth about forgiveness. It is the only truth about heaven. It is the only truth about hell. It is the only truth about salvation. It is the only truth about eternal life. We desperately need the Bible in 2003. For truth. Secondly, believers need the Bible for guidance. How do we know what is right and wrong? How do we know how to make wise decisions? From whence cometh wisdom? It comes from the Word of God. Believers also need the Bible for growth. We want to grow in our faith. We want to become more and more mature. And only in the Word of God do we have the source for that growth. In the fourth place, we need the Bible for strength. Living in this world, we are bombarded in competition for our mind and heart. We are bombarded with temptation constantly. We need to be strong in the Lord, in the power of His might, and the Bible gives us that strength. In the fifth place, believers need the Bible for hope. As we read the newspaper and get our news from the media, things can look very bleak, very gloomy. We need the promises of God. In 2003, we need to feed on the promises of God. In the sixth place, believers need the Word of God for our witness. We are left here on this earth to bear witness of the gospel. So we need a message. And where do we get the message? We do not pick it out of thin air or learn it by sitting out under a tree somewhere meditating about ourselves. No, we get the message from the Word of God. We get the message of the cross and the message of the resurrection to tell the world Jesus died and He arose and He is alive. That is our witness. In the seventh place, believers need the Word of God for mission. We are on a mission, and that mission is to teach and preach and live the Word of God. And we have before us the most vital, significant, and strategic mission field in all the world. And that mission field is the children and youth of the USA. Christianity is generational, passing from one generation to another. There is a verse in the book of Judges which reads, "So there arose another generation which knew not the Lord." What a tragedy. And how terrible that can be for our country. It seems to be happening. Christianity goes from generation to generation. And here, thinking of Paul and Timothy, Paul speaks of grandmother to mother to Timothy. And then Paul comes and becomes the spiritual father of Timothy. We must teach our children and young people biblical truth. I do not hesitate as I declare and proclaim that the greatest need for 2003 is the Bible. Our Bibles. Now, how do we respond? What can we do about this? Well, to realize and recognize anew and afresh that the Bible is God's Word. The great Creator God, glorious in majesty and creation, revealed Himself somewhat in creation. But the creation does not reveal the attributes of God, His grace and mercy, His nature, His love. We cannot know who God really is just through creation. We need the Bible as He reveals Himself, His glorious, wonderful attributes. Let us respond to the Word of God this morning. And then our response is to believe the truth of the Bible. We believe. We Christians are known as believers, and that belief is with deep conviction, which leads us to trust. We trust the Word of God above any human philosophy. We trust the Word of God over and above our own thoughts. We trust the Word of God over and above our own feelings. We live by faith in the Word of God. You know, an interesting thing is that we cannot prove that the Bible is the Word of God. Now, we can study Christian apologetics, and we can come up with 50 reasons why we who are Christians believe the Word of God. But the unbelievers can look at those, and they do not believe. Goes back again to the thought that the Holy Spirit alone can reveal that the Bible is the Word of God. We believe and we trust in our hearts. We trust in our life. And we trust in our home. And I'd say to fathers today that the greatest thing you can do in 2003 is to teach and train your family in biblical truth. And do not rely on the church or Sunday school to replace you as the father, as the main teacher. And to do this steadily and regularly to build into the lives of the family. We need our Bibles in 2003. Fathers, you need your Bible. Mothers, you need your Bible. Children, you need your Bible. And young people, you desperately need your Bible. And it seems strange to need to say this, but I feel compelled to say this. The greatest need in our churches for 2003 is the Bible. The return to biblical teaching. The return to biblical theology. The return to doctrinal truth. Now, many people are saying today, oh, we don't need theology, we don't need doctrine, we just want to love Jesus. Well, I would say, which Jesus? The Jesus of some of the cults? The Jesus of the secular humanist who say he's a good man? Or the Jesus of the Bible? We need to teach the Bible. My greatest need for 2003 is my Bible. Your greatest need in 2003 is the Word of God in your mind and in your heart and in your life and in your home. The Old Testament says that there must be a revival. A revival and hunger for the Word. May God cause it to be so in 2003. Let's bow our hearts for prayer. Heavenly Father, we give you adoration and praise for your word. Thank you that it is living and lives in our lives. Thank you for the truth, for the anchor that we have, that we can step out into the new year with confident faith that you have taught us, that you have trained us, and that we live according to your word. Grant it to be so. In Jesus' name, amen.